Good morning, America. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else, coming on with a little Pat Metheny there. I have in the studio with me today Carl and Valerie Blake of Artful Greetings Art Gallery and also Greeting Cards. We're going to be talking some more. I have no idea where the conversation's going, but they've been up to all kinds of stuff. I have co-host George Antzak, I hope I said that right, with me here in the studio.
Yeah, close enough.
Good. George is going to try it out for a while to see if he's going to try and fit it on for size and see if he likes it. And I've also got Ernie Hood of Radio In Vivo, the science radio show that we have on WCOM.
Good morning, all.
And the reason I said good morning, America, this morning is because we know we've got some people live streaming the show, as well as it being the day that it is today, November 4th, the voting day. So go out there and get your vote, because if McCain gets in office and I'm an independent, I'm moving to Canada. I will not stay.
Do you need a passport?
I don't need to know how this smells if another Republican gets in office. Could somebody give me a little more juice on there? Let me. All we're right. Going with the usual. On the very end. The very end.
The very end.
One, two, one,
pick
two.
A
okay.
Button.
Okay, got that. I think that's the right one. Hope I'm not jazzing anybody else out. So anyway, Ernie, quick plug over to you. What's happening with Radio In Vivo coming up?
Well, as a matter of fact, Claudio, this week is the 100th hour-long episode of Radio In Vivo. It's been
congratulations!
Almost 3 years now.
Fantastic! And it's a top dog show. I know. I listen to it whenever. Well, the archived versions. Whenever I'm at home doing house cleaning, it's what's playing on the radio.
Many people do that, naked, actually.
Oh. I'm not going into that.
Yeah, I really don't want that visual in your case. In your case
I don't want that visual either.
Freedom is
I've thrown
not
all
free.
The mitters out.
That's right. But this week, my guest is going to be Dr. Alex Huang from North Carolina State University. And he is head of a new National Science Foundation Center researching the smart electrical grid of the future.
Fantastic. Interesting. Is it solar combined or something?
It'll be set up. Ultimately, it'll be like the power internet, they're calling it, able to bring in power from all the alternative sources, whether it's wind or solar. You know, you got a little windmill in your backyard, you can sell your power back to the system.
I want one.
It'll be completely interactive like that.
That'll be an interesting neighborhood. Yes.
Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, it's probably one of the things I want to ask him is, you know, how far away is this? It could be decades. So I don't know how close we are to something like that.
Trying
it should be
out,
an interesting show.
I'm trying to figure out how we can hook something up to a bicycle so I can go up then, you know, just elevate a bicycle off the ground in my backyard and pedal it and collect some energy so I can watch 30 minutes or something.
We've talked about doing that here at the radio station, you know, set up a bicycle out there and let people come in and have sort of a marathon of running our own power.
Hey.
You got some thoughts on that, George?
Yeah, I guess, you know, just make sure that we keep the lights on, you know. What if someone doesn't want to show up, you know, and like, we have to get somebody off the street to, you know, pedal for an hour so we can do our show.
Hey, buddy, here's $5. Can you get in that and pedal for a while?
That's right.
Sounds like it's a need for a fundraiser here.
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely. We need to enlist you guys to help us
out. As a matter of fact, speaking of that sort of thing, is there any new word on WCOM moving, finding a new location? I know you had a meeting about that.
Yeah, Claudio, I'm glad you brought that up. The bottom line on that is that the radio station is going to need to move eventually. Mm-hmm. Weaver Street Market is eventually going to sell the building that we're sitting here in at the corner of Greensboro and Main Street in Carrboro.
And that is as a result of opening up another one in Hillsboro.
In Hillsboro, right. They moved their office space up there, so they no longer had a need for this particular building.
Right.
But we are in no way in a gigantic hurry to accomplish this. There's no deadline just yet, and we're going to have plenty of notice. So it's not a crisis situation, but given that we know it's going to happen at some point in the foreseeable future, mm-hmm. we're starting to move on it, and we're setting up a location task force to explore all the alternatives around, particularly Carrboro, if possible, but we're also licensed in Chapel Hill, so Chapel Hill location would be acceptable. So if anybody out there has some free or inexpensive space. We don't need a lot of space. We don't need a lot of fancy facilities. If you've ever been here to the radio station, you've seen living proof of that.
We'll take the rooftop of an old church and bellows.
Hey, we would take a rooftop that didn't leak. You know?
There we go. Speaking of that, we're leaking today.
We are leaking today. You know, a little bit of rain. Here we go.
I came in and had to connect the buckets.
But it's, you know, to fix the roof of this building would be many thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So we're just living with it the best we can and trying to do the best community radio we can under the circumstances.
So this is pirate radio coming at you, because I think they ran into some of the same troubles when they were broadcasting.
So if anybody, you know, has any thoughts about where we might relocate the station, we'd love to hear about it. You can just go on the website at communityradio.coop and drop us an email, and
you can also send
Of course, always fundraising constantly. So
you can also send one to me at claudioarts.com.
Right.
And I will respond to you gladly. And I know the girls at ArtSync, Christine and her gang out there with ArtSync magazine, which will be emerging in February. We had a great show with them on a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
They're looking into possibly helping us with a fundraiser, or at least, you know, mm-hmm. stirring something. They don't want to see us be shut down for any length of time. So.
Right. Well, one of the things we're you know, anticipating is that, obviously, to move the radio station, it's going to cost some money. You know, and mm-hmm. we do have ongoing expenses, although they are minimal. You know, we still have to pay for power and telephone and insurance and things like that. So we do need some fundraising, and we're moving on that as well. So
Valerie and Carl are very strong in that department as well. So
yeah, well, let's sign them up.
Oh, and we can do that quickly, easily. Don't get me started.
Since I know we're going to be rolling here, and it's going to be nonstop with the energy we've got in this room right now. It's like a charged battery waiting to be plugged in. I just want to acknowledge the Carolina Theater, the historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as one of the underwriters.
Yeah,
love
yeah,
having
yeah.
you guys. There's always something unique going on. Check that place out. Also, Cabin in the Woods Inc. Studios, or Cabin in the Woods Studios Inc. Sorry, I got that wrong. With John Demers and company, the independent film Will to Power, and a few others that are being featured right now that he's taken to market. Want to just give a shout out at you guys. Thank you for being underwriters. And on that note, yeah, I think
we love our underwriters.
We do. We need them. On that note, I think I'm going to bounce it over to Valerie and Carl for a minute to find out what they've been up to. And we're going to sort of switch mics around here as we need to. We're one mic shy, so pardon the little scratches when I pass the mic to George. So Carl and Valerie, it's you, babe.
Go ahead, Valerie.
All righty. Well, good morning, and thanks again, Claudio. You know, I have this fear of an
great
open
to have
mic,
you on, as
so.
Usual.
Thank you.
You have a fear of what?
An open mic, you know.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
scared. The bashful
oh, yeah.
type, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm married to the big booming broadcaster here, so hey, I have to get in where I can.
That's true.
I try my best not to speak a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see the man needs a mic.
But, Claudia, we have been extremely busy with all sorts of wonderful things going on.
I gathered, because I haven't heard from you for a while.
I know, but we do still have your beautiful art at the Artful Gallery by Artful Greenings.
Good, and we're picking up some more today from the Century Center. That goes
yes,
back to you.
Yes, yes, and so we're actually working on a show now in the gallery, which is called Home for the Holidays.
Ah.
And so we'll be featuring the art of the cards, and what we do with that show is we show the artwork, the original works that have gone to create the Artful Greetings cards right now. Of course, it's the holiday season, whatever holiday you celebrate. We mm-hmm. have something for that with the creations from colorful people of all colors.
Right, right, right.
Kind of an Obama-esque kind of gallery
yes, yes.
thing. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, he better be making it this time, because this country's in a mess if he isn't.
Yeah, we've got to have people happy. I mean, happy people mm-hmm. buy cards. So yeah. we need that.
Happy
it's something
people
about
buy.
That greeting. Yeah, they buy, and that's definitely a deal.
Ernie, can you turn up my mic a little? I'm not hearing myself in the head. There we go. That's much better. Thank you.
Yeah. So at any rate, that will be going on at the Artful Gallery starting this weekend.
Wonderful.
And we'll have just a number of works. The Artful Gallery is actually located. A number of folks have visited us downtown when we were in the space near Five Points. And that was a wonderful adventure and a wonderful gift from the good folks at Greenfire
well,
Development. But
well,
we are now
give them
back
all the
our
information they need to find you, the address, the website,
yes.
and all that.
Yes. We are at artfulgreetings.com online, and as you all were talking about fundraisers, we do have virtual fundraisers going for virtually every type of organization using the holiday cards. You can find out more about that online at artfulgreetings.com. But we are actually physically located in Durham between Fayetteville Street and Highway 55, on one side and Cornwallis and Martin Luther King on the other side. So we're right in the UDI Business Center between North Carolina Central and South Point, your big landmarks. Very easy to
find. Prime location, yeah.
Very easy to find. And so we just have lots of beautiful things and cool people, you know, lots of good stuff. And this time of year, I think for some reason, I'm thinking that folks may just be getting Christmas cards this year. Might not have gifts attached to them, so who wonder?
Yeah, right. That's all you're getting this year.
Yeah. We've got gold foil envelopes to go with them, though.
Yeah.
So, Carl, what else have we been doing?
Well, we've been up and down the coast a lot, back and forth to Charlotte, working on a play, which is... The playwright is actually from Durham, North Carolina, one of the reverends here.
Give us his name.
It's Cheryl McNeil is the playwright, and her husband Joe, both of them are reverends. Cheryl actually wrote the play, and Joe is, I guess you could say, the motivator, pusher, I need to get this out. He's the guy that sees a much different type picture, but same picture. He's looking at it going from being just a stage play, because they consider it a stage production, not just a play.
Mm-hmm.
They consider, he's looking for it to be more than just a stage production. He's looking to go to DVD and get it distributed through the big guys. And
is it a spiritual type production? Or
it is.
One would think with him and the wife being the author.
It has a religious background, but it wouldn't be a...
Chitlin Circuit kind of play. It's not one of those. It's not your hit gospel play.
Okay. it's
that's one I haven't heard yet. Chitlin Circuit.
Those would be those plays that you see every month, and it's got a different night, different name. Uh-huh. Same play.
Somebody's shucking and jiving. None of that.
No. It's a very good story. It's about transformation. It's about people's changes in life and how, and it relates to a lot of folks, because the story is about how you get to that point in life. You know, we've all been given that story of, go to school, get your degree, get out of school, get your job. Life is hunky-dory.
Who told you could get off the merry-go-round?
You know, and this lady actually finds the chance. She finds her way off the merry-go-round. She realizes all those things that they've told me weren't exactly all true. I didn't get the things that, or I got the things, the material things, but I didn't get, my soul wasn't happy.
Yeah, that's usually they usually tell you to leave that at the door, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I don't want to knock any bankers or lawyers, but those guys normally had that kind of attitude in life. Like, well, you know, I got a great job, but I'm not very happy.
This is the show we knock them on.
So let me see. Do I need a banker or a lawyer today?
I want to go ahead and take a turn with that. I've been thinking a lot, especially we've been, you know, hit the big financial crisis that everyone's been worried about lately. And now we're talking about the gift cards. Are we able to, you know, local merchants being able to make sales Christmas time? People going to be buying less. I'm not as concerned, I think, as most people, because the way I look at it is the reason that we're in trouble now is because we put so much emphasis on our finances and on, you know, doing everything, getting through school, getting that ultimate job, those ultimate goals that are only really just, you know, our bottom line is coming down on our checkbooks. If we enrich ourselves spiritually, we don't have as much to lose.
Exactly.
And I think that as a nation and as a culture, we're going to benefit perhaps even in a greater way today if everything rolls through as it's supposed to. We're going to have some good stuff in store.
It's almost like take some time out and smell the roses for a change.
Exactly. And that's exactly what the play is about.
And
it's
this
about
is what
taking
happens.
That chance. You know, taking that moment to see what's going on in life around you, other than the materialistic things that we all go chasing after at some point or other in life.
So it will actually be performed in Charlotte at Ovens Auditorium the 21st and 22nd of November. So it's coming up soon.
Do I get tickets or how does that work?
Of course.
All right. Let me know when you go. I'll go with you.
Yeah. We plan on having a theater full of folks. They've got 13 original musical compositions for it.
Wow.
We've got Tyler Perry, leading man, Terrell Carter. He's been in Meek Brown.
Yeah, I recognize that name right away.
All of these big Tyler Perry productions. We also have Ann McCrary, who is a gospel vocalist and one of the lead singers and hosts of the Bobby Jones Gospel Hour on Sunday mornings on BET. And then the lead character, Claudine, is actually a local actress who has worked in some productions recently and throughout life, but she's actually coming to her place now. But it's a musical, it's a theatrical production, but basically it is, as Carl said, a story of transformation. These are the things that happen happened to this young lady over the course of a weekend, first at work, then at the nightclub. So that's where we have Stanley Baird, the big time saxophone.
Yeah, recognize that name, of course. Yeah.
He just came off a USO tour, so he's going to be doing a
cameo.
That's
pretty impressive. You got some pretty impressive folks there.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And like you said, it was a spiritual thing because a lot of the folks that came on board, they weren't looking at fat checks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were looking at the aspect of, okay, well, we get a solid piece of work, something that has some substance to it instead of, as we said, the chitlin circuit, mm-hmm. you know, or something that was just frivol. Not that frivol was bad, because, like you said, this time, frivol was pretty good, just to get something, just get a laugh out of, and I'll have to have anything later on to deal with it. But it was an opportunity for these guys all to give back to the community.
That is good.
And saying Stanley coming back from his USO tour,
in Japan.
From, you know, it was so funny because they asked us for a saxophonist, and we said, well, we know Stanley Baird. We're real good friends. We can ask Stanley. And they were like looking at us like, really?
Stanley?
What?
Wow.
Stanley? Well, that's exactly who we had in mind, with Stanley being local from there.
You can ask him just long enough for him to say no. Right?
Yeah. You know? And that's what they all thought. They thought if we asked Stanley, he's going to say no. And Stanley was like, oh, sure.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun. And there are a couple of other components to it that makes it a little bit, a lot more than just your typical play or theatrical production. Food Lion has actually signed on as a major sponsor. And so we are doing a food drive in conjunction with theirs called Hunger Has a Cure. So at over 60 Food Lion stores in the Charlotte area, you can actually participate and support the play. So when you make a donation there, when you come to Ovens Auditorium to get your ticket, we've got a $101 gift pack with art prints and all sorts of good things in it. And then we also have an art show called Artful Fruits of the Spirit with Kelvin W. Henderson, who's actually from Henderson, North Carolina, but lives in the Maryland area, who will be the featured artist, and a portion of the proceeds from that will go as well. So it's a overall deal. And the thing that I think is pretty cool about the McNeils, the playwrights, they didn't start preaching in church at 10 years old. They lived life. They had fun. They experienced it. So they don't come off preachy and we're going to hell because
no holier than thou.
Right.
No,
they're
no
very cool people, and you know, we look out for the lightning bolt when we're sitting talking to them. You're like, well,
you see that brimstone over there? That's what I keep my hamburger on.
But they're cool folks. So that's what we're doing right now, and we'll move on to some other stuff.
I wanted to mention something since we're on the supermarket vein here, and hopefully no reflection on Food Lion, but I am noticing that ever since our fuel prices have dropped, I haven't seen a lot of the grocery prices go down. It's like they're still riding that little high, and you need to drop them prices because we know that those prices were jacked up because of gas.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was the hurricane.
Oh, is that what they're telling us now? Well, get off that oil well.
I noticed those cucumbers were still a little high.
We did and see also, some great prices on the way down to Charlotte, though, so it is, in fact, true.
Well, you're talking about groceries now.
Yeah.
I'm talking about groceries. I'm talking about dog food, for one thing.
Yeah.
I'm paying a lot of money for that stuff. I got 6 dogs I rescued, and that's getting a little too expensive.
We're going to teach those dogs to hunt.
Plus, I'm starting to take my kids to the vet because, I mean, it's only a few dollars cheaper than the doctor. Mm-hmm. So it's getting nuts out there. You guys are going to need to drop your prices and come up with some honesty. Also, you know, bouncing back on the church thing that you guys were just going into since this the show, if they get any more involved with politics, I think they need to lose their tax-exempt status.
Exactly.
I agree.
Because this is getting a little too much. If I'm going to listen to my church be a political party, then you pay taxes.
Exactly. I agree.
One
I
has agree on nothing to do with the other.
No, it doesn't. And the other thing that has been dawning on me, I've been sort of surfing the web a little bit, and there are all sorts of little anarchy groups espousing their philosophies around this. I'm hoping that the rich will take this as a cue that you keep squeezing the little guy and you're going to have some trouble on your hands, because when they stop buying your products and stop caring about you, your money's gone. So you might want to consider fair play.
I think the big problem is the big guys aren't as big, and they're realizing that they too could be little guys, and so
getting smaller all the time.
Yeah. Of course, unless you're, what's that big oil company that just had the biggest profit ever?
Isn't that arrogance just personified?
Goodness. Well, people are murdering folks at the gas tanks.
To the dollar. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
right.
Not really profit.
You got something on that note, George?
I want to emphasize our theme in this crisis. You can be financially bankrupt without being spiritually bankrupt, and vice versa. And and I think, people are going to be pinched for their money. But I think that you know, us who work in the arts are concerned about, you know, how far are we going to get cut back with all these price increases and everything. And I think that this is actually a great time for people to invest in the arts because, you know, we might not see recovery in our pocketbooks for, you know, another couple of years. But that doesn't mean that we can't engage creatively in our lives and continue to be productive, even if that productivity isn't something that you see, you know, at the bottom line of your checkbook. It can be something very enriching internally.
It makes a difference.
In other words,
to have joy brought into your life,
give it in
while
faith.
Everything is, and people who love art will buy art. It may not be the $100,000 commission. It might be the wonderful $100 piece from Claudio, or you know, the wonderful
so
book or what have
brought
you.
But it really picture. Is. Claudio is broke. Buy some art. You can go to ClaudioArts.com.
And I've got lots of them, too.
At Artful Greetings Art Gallery. That's right. There's something I want to add to the show today, since we're going to delve a little bit into the literary here. This was just too good to pass up. This was handed me by the Carolina Theater of Durham. And I've never seen anything like this before, and I'm actually going to start keeping up with it. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read these pieces, and we can sort of jump in and make our comments as we please, because some of this stuff you're not going to want to leave alone. You're going to have something to say.
So I just want to add right here, since I am an employee, that the views that we're about to express do not necessarily reflect the views of the Carolina Theater of Durham Incorporated.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, disclaimer time, huh? That's why they sent you.
I'm just covering my own butt here.
And let's cover WCLM.
Hey, it's the
well.
American way.
No, this is nothing along those lines anyway. I will give you guys the proper introduction to what this is. Every year, English teachers from across the USA can submit their collections of actual analogies and metaphors found in high school essays. These excerpts are published to the amusement of teachers across the country, and these are last year's winner. This is the first one, a descriptive. Her face was a perfect oval, like a circle that had its two sides gently compressed by a thigh master. How can you want to leave that alone?
How do you picture that?
Yeah.
How do you picture that?
How do legs get in the metaphor there?
And they say teaching isn't rewarding.
I can see these teachers eating this up. I wonder if they're going to pass a grade for who can be the most off the wall. The second one is, his thoughts tumbled in his head, making and breaking alliances like underpants in a dryer without cling free. Kids, I got news for you. You might want to use some more classical metaphors. I'm not sure the future's going to relate to cling free.
Cling free.
You have to kind of like that one, though.
You I do, mean, that's I like pretty, this making and breaking alliances.
That's pretty creative. I don't really have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with it either.
Therapy.
I'm just hoping that metaphors grow out of this and don't go back to the roots.
You know, I'm becoming kind of concerned that maybe the corporations are actually going to, you know, get in on those what do they call it, the grassroots,
language.
That's it's a thing where they have, you know, these people that work for them, you know, and they could hire high school students to underwrite, you know, for Cling Free or Thighmaster or you know, Chick-fil-A or anything, you know, just to put in their high school essays. You know, maybe they get a national high school essay award or something.
I'll give you $3 for putting my name in your commercial.
I think this consciousness is going too far. Stop it now. And the third one. And I've got a few more to go. Here we go. He spoke with the wisdom that can only come from experience. Like a guy who went blind because he looked at a solar eclipse without one of those boxes with a pinhole in it, and now goes around the country speaking at high schools about the dangers of looking at a solar eclipse without one of those boxes with a pinhole in it.
Do they work? I haven't tried it personally.
If anybody's veering off the road right now, watch that pole. The next one is, she grew on him like she was a colony of E. coli, and he was room temperature Canadian beef.
Oh my God!
Oh man, they should give Jay Leno some of this stuff, man, because his comedy gets a little dry. And the fifth one, she had a deep, throaty, genuine laugh, like that sound a dog makes just before it throws up. Oh my God!
That one's pretty good. That's very descriptive. I definitely you can hear that in my head.
Yeah. Visualize that one, didn't you?
I can see writing a romantic letter with that symbolism.
Yeah,
darling, I love your laugh. And then this one sounds very today. Her vocabulary was as bad as, like, whatever.
Like, whatever.
Whatever.
We've got to get more advanced classes in school. That's a problem.
That was an advanced AP student.
He was as tall as a 6-foot-3-inch tree.
Oh.
All right, a little limited there, buddy. Number 8, the revelation that his marriage of 30 years had disintegrated because of his wife's infidelity came as a rude shock, like a surcharge at a formerly surcharge-free ATM machine. Ooh. Got a little money conscious there or something. I don't know what's up there. But this is language.
You pay one too many, you know, surcharge.
Get your hand out of the battery before you speak. The 9th one. The little boat gently drifted across the pond exactly the way a bowling ball wouldn't.
And these were high school students.
These are high school. These are the award winners.
Oh, my goodness.
The 10th one. McBride fell 12 stories, hitting the pavement like a hefty bag filled with vegetable soup.
You liked that one, didn't you?
I got the visual on that
She's getting the splatter on that one. And the 11th one. From the attic came an unearthly howl. The whole scene had an eerie, surreal quality, like when you're on vacation in another city and Jeopardy comes on at 7 p.m. instead of 7:30. Good God, kid, get out of the bedroom.
Wow.
Some of this is kind of depressing.
That is an eerie, surreal feeling.
I've experienced that sensation before. Yeah. It is kind of strange, especially you're in your hotel room, and it's just, yeah, it's like you're at home, but you're somewhere else.
I only had that experience in California, waking up to see pro football on at 10 a.m.
There's only one thing I can say to that. Get a life!
Read a book.
And the 12th one is, her hair glistened in the rain like a nose hair after a sneeze. Her hair glistened in the rain like a nose hair after a sneeze. Yeah, we got that snotty metaphor. That's not a metaphor.
That's reality.
Too much of it. And number 13. The hailstones leaped from the pavement just like maggots when you fry them in hot grease. Wonder what experience this was. Was he on a reality show?
Oh, my goodness.
He had to be. I haven't fried any maggots ever.
No, don't intend to. Number 14, long separated by cruel fate, the star-crossed lovers raced across the grassy field toward each other like two freight trains, one having left Cleveland at 6:36 p.m., traveling at 55 miles, the other from Topeka at 4:19 p.m., at a speed of 35 miles per hour.
Now that is just too much SAT prep right there.
Isn't it?
Is that kid hanging out at the station or what?
Yeah.
15. I'm not adding anything to that. They lived in a typical suburban neighborhood with picket fences that resembled Nancy Kerrigan's teeth.
Ah!
Ooh.
Yeah, there's... Hello, Nancy. Number 16. Go ahead, George.
She has nice teeth. Right?
They might have been nice picket fences, for all we know.
I don't remember.
Nice and white and even and...
John and Mary had never
met.
They were like two hummingbirds who had also never met.
Oh, Lord.
What?
John and Mary had never met. They were like two hummingbirds who had also never met. That's what I call reaching.
You know, you have to wonder about the people who judge these.
Yes. And the people who retype them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and the people who repeat them on the radio.
On the radio.
Oh, be quiet. Radio room. And number 17, he didn't touch her. He fell for her like his heart was a mob informant, and she was the East River.
Oh, my goodness.
New Yorker.
I think that was Gotti's kid. And number 18. Even in his last years, Granddad had a mind like a steel trap. Only one that had been left out so long it had rusted shut. I guess we love you too, Grandpa.
Yeah.
Number 19 is shots rang out as shots are wont to do. Mm-hmm.
Huh?
This is obviously a fellow that thinks a pistol shoots itself. Number 20, the plan was simple, like my brother-in-law Phil. But unlike Phil, this plan just might work.
Okay. I like that, kid.
Now that is good.
Yeah, that's a good way of sneaking one
good.
In. Hey, Phil, get a job.
Yeah.
Number 21. And there's only 25, so we're almost done here. The young fighter had a hungry look, the kind you get from not eating for a while. Carolina Theater, you can keep these coming. Number 22. He was as lame as a duck. Not the metaphorical lame duck either, but a real duck that was actually lame, maybe from stepping on a landmine or something.
It's Bosnian children.
Jeepers.
Do they have ducks in Iraq?
Bosnia.
Think they've blown them all up.
I'll blow them up.
It's got to be a pretty sensitive landmine if a duck can set it off. Number 23. The ballerina rose gracefully on point and extended one slender leg behind her like a dog at a fire hydrant. That's ballet for you.
Yes, this is ballet.
What position might that be?
Darling, I'm not taking that any further. Notice that wet spot on the hydrant. Number 24. It was an American tradition, like fathers chasing kids around with power tools. This is a tradition.
Okay. Wow.
I'm glad my dad didn't do that. He chased me with other stuff.
That's why we've got to keep America working.
And you could take a deep breath when you heard the thing. And you could take a deep breath when you heard the thing come unplugged, right?
Yeah. I'm out of range.
And finally. Yeah, right. Come back here.
I gotta plug in.
Yes. Yeah, hold this. Get that extension cord.
Daddy loves you.
And then finally, yes.
See what you've started.
I know. And then finally, and we'll let you folks get back to your driving. I know I can see all sorts of cars pulling off the side of the road. He was deeply in love. When she spoke, he thought he heard bells, as if she were a garbage truck backing up.
Beep, 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 beep.
And that does it for our literary segment.
Oh, that was exhausting.
Yeah. The youth are something else, are they not?
You know, actually, that actually segues into something Carl and I were talking about before the show. With all the emphasis on testing and integrated testing since the No Child Left Behind Act, are we really keeping our kids busy enough? I mean, they're clearly smart, they're intelligent, they're capable, and I had this problem going through school, and I know a lot of us did, that there was just never enough challenges that we couldn't easily meet, you know, and... Carl, you said that your son has been sort of...
He's the end-of-grade tester.
Yeah.
He does nothing during the school year, as little as possible. Then at the end of grade, he gets a perfect score. And they give him an A on his report card. He's happy. And it's kind of hard to say, son, you should study all year long.
Which one of those did he write?
Hollywood about the tools. Claudio, I want my orange extension cord back. I need it. But it is. He
well, I'm almost done with my neighborhood. I'll get it back to you.
Thank you. But he sees it as all I need to do is learn enough to pass the end of grade test. And at the end of the year, I get a perfect score, which is really hard to say, well, son, what have you been doing all year? Because at the end of the year, he gets a perfect score. Dad, I got the best score in the whole county. You know, so what am I supposed to say when the teachers call me all the rest of the year going, he won't do his homework. He won't be quiet in class. He won't pay attention. He keeps wandering off.
Well, you know, that whole No Child Left Behind thing is sort of a bit of a George Orwellian faux pas because it means exactly the opposite.
Exactly.
It means every kid in the country is being left behind under this George Bush lunacy.
And it's really quite Pavlovian when you think about it. I mean, you know, okay, time for end of the grade, go in and learn what you need to do for the test, and then the rest of the year they've got, you know, thumb cramps from texting
and,
you know, individual letters. I'm like, why don't you pick up the phone, and what do those four
this
letters
will,
mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put that on a job application, and last time I checked, the journalism school at Carolina doesn't count that.
O-M-G.
You might want to learn. Yes.
OMG.
WTF. I think
I think the bent thumb will be a future recognized muscle group.
Well, you know, they I think they said just this past month that the number of text messages has taken over the number of actual phone calls.
Oh, my God.
Like twice as many in the last month overall. So I'm like, what in the world? And you ride down the road and you see the car weaving. Mm-hmm. Then you see someone who's about 17 and they're sitting there looking down, texting while riding with you. You
know? Ernie and I went to see W with Alan Hall, the theater reviewer. Mm-hmm. And there were kids sitting in front of us that were texting while they were watching the movie. It's like it's...
Yeah. Oh, they come in packs to the mall, and they're walking down the mall, and some are texting, and the others are Bluetoothing, and the others are holding the big thing to their heads, and I'm like, okay,
this will explain the face prints in the columns and the walls, folks.
Exactly.
But it's like seven or eight of them. I'm like, okay, basic communication, basic, you know, just knowing how to talk to people is something that's not being taught because you don't get tested on that at the end of grade 10.
I think the seven or eight are surrounding the one in the middle that's really talking. They're trying to protect him, keep him from hitting the pole.
That's our new president.
It could be. And then they wonder when they get on a job, well, why? Why do I have to do this? I mean, I
got to text?
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not really, you know, conducive to good life habits, good work habits, and then you wonder what's happened to our youth. Well, they only have to perform once a year at the end of the grade test.
And that, I think, comes in where we're not keeping them engaged enough. And maybe it's not just the fault of the school systems necessarily. They have a specific curriculum they're assigned mm-hmm. to teach,
yes.
and they've had their funding cut, mm-hmm. where they have to drop music classes and mm-hmm. enrichment programs and arts classes. And once again, this is a place where as the arts community needs to step up and exactly. engage these young people in something. And I know a lot of people. I work with a lot of NCT folks, North Carolina Theater, and mm-hmm. that is a great enrichment program, a great way to get kids involved in the arts. It's extracurricular, mm-hmm. But it doesn't cost a lot, you know, or, you know, any program, dance schools, you know. Mm-hmm. I like seeing those being successful because it's giving them a creative outlet that it's non-academic. It's not part of the routine of, oh, learn how to balance your checkbook and mm-hmm. pass these tests and, you know, prepare for, you know AP finals and on your college mm-hmm. entrance exams. Mm-hmm. You know, give them something different to work with mm-hmm. that can engage them so they don't just hang out texting their friends at the mall all day.
Well, we had a wonderful experience at our last show downtown. A group of young poets. It was a tribute to the Hillside Homecoming, so we had a nice old school funky party on Friday night for the old heads like us, Carl and I, and then on Saturday you're older than me. So then we had an event on Saturday celebrating the 50th anniversary of AARP nationally and the 45 years of the Durham AARP. And so part of the talent was a group of young poets from Hillside called Prometheus Bound. And they were spectacular.
Matter of fact, they're supposed to come on next week.
They're supposed to be on your show next week.
Yeah.
And these kids came from all different places. They, you know, all different life experiences. And they got up and when you saw them walking, it was like, oh boy, pull your pants up. Here, you know, typical teenagers. But they came in, they got in front of this audience of quite diverse people, folks that look like probably their grandparents as well as their peers, and opened their hearts and just ripped it, as they say. These kids were awesome, and these are the same young people that opened for the recent production at the Carolina Theater, as a matter of fact.
Yes, which I missed.
What was the name of that? The History of Hip-Hop.
History of Hip-Hop.
And so these four young people that opened for that were so awesome that the director of the play invited them to come to the Apollo Theater to perform in the spring.
Wow.
And so
wow.
this is something that's going on in the schools. And like I said, these aren't all your top dog straight A, you know, going
they're
to
students
Stanford.
That are getting left behind.
They're the kids that might otherwise get left behind. It was so wonderful to see that.
I did have an opportunity to see the History of the Word. That was a great show. And I do remember seeing those kids performing, and they have talent.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's a lot of discouragement. There's a lot of cynicism of, oh, this generation, they don't have it. They've been glued to the television their whole lives. They don't have, there's something that's missing from them. And that's just not true. They have a lot of creative energy that is just not, we're not harvesting it. It's mm-hmm. it's there. If we just, you know, can kind of give them some encouragement, there's so much talent out there mm-hmm. That we need to, and those young people are excellent examples of just that.
Not necessarily channeled into the proper outlets because they haven't been really given a sense of direction with
exactly.
Well, their professor is awesome.
Just for you folks, in case you are in fact listening to all you poets, I want to let you know that WCOM is a small studio, so you're going to have to organize yourselves in a very tight-knit little way when you come over here. I don't know how many of you are actually going to be on mic, but we'll have to rotate microphones. So just be aware of the fact that it's going to be a small studio, but we'll take care of you. I think a lot of what happened with today's youth is years and years ago, parents used televisions as babysitters, mm-hmm. and now they wonder why the children are so drawn to technology more mm-hmm. so than people.
Yep. Well, and, coming up on my 30th year anniversary or 30th year reunion from high school next year, if give you an idea. And I'm looking at the kids that are coming through. These are the children that my peers had. And I look at the difference in how they had to be raised because parents were not in the homes. People didn't sit down to the table mm-hmm. and discuss. There are no newspapers pretty much in the homes now. You don't talk about the current events because everyone's running around trying to make sure that they've got those, you know, financial things, and they're realizing kind of that kids don't just need things, they need love, they need attention,
they need more attention, importantly, interaction,
they need time. And the advisor for this group, Mark Greenstreet, he is just like the Energizer Bunny. He's just every which way, just hey guys, and I mean he keeps these kids just so
I think
high.
He's the one that's supposed to be in touch with me, so
yes.
Do send me an email. I know Betty gave you the information you need. Hello Betty at Carolina
Theater and yeah, the whole Betty.
So yeah, now that there is, I think that there was a whole. It's amazing when you see what comes back after you've walked away and neglected an entire generation of children mm-hmm. for a while, and then suddenly realize how media savvy they've become because that was their only outlet. So they're all trying to put their creative energies into that, even artistically, mm-hmm. and it may not always be the appropriate venue for that. That's mm-hmm. the part that they haven't necessarily learned yet.
Mm-hmm. But they're on the computer. They're. You know, communicating in a different way. And I mean, you can see, to kind of bring it back to what today is, you can see the results of that with the number
absolutely.
Of young people that have registered. And
they're busting at the seams.
Yeah, we
good
did an Obama fundraiser back in the spring and got on the list. And oh my goodness, we get texts and emails like every day. But this is how that generation is communicating. So there are ways, they're just different ways. And so we have to adapt our model. Have to adapt how we teach and reach and realize that every mm-hmm. child is not taught or reached the same way. It's not the same game. It takes a little more, but it's worth it.
So I want to let you folks know you are listening to 103.5 FM WCOM. This is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. Want to give a big mention of our deep regret that Obama's grandmother has passed away. I think that's something that deserves acknowledgement, and I really admire him for the way he stood up for her and has given back respect for all that she did for him. I think that's just pure class.
Yes.
Again, our condolences from the Speakeasy. I think George has something to say.
Yeah, just a public service. I talked to my friend Jeremy, who works for the AFL-CIO, that I know a lot of us have already early voted. Us people who are just very engaged with the election have sort of, you know, we've done our part, you know, we've volunteered or anything. And I want to emphasize, it's not too late to get out the vote. If you have free time today, Senator Obama has his offices are still open. They're still, you know, taking volunteers. You can go. You can get on the phones. You can call people up. You can see, have you guys made it to the polls yet? You can go volunteer to help people get to the polls. It's not too late to get out there. I wish I had some number or something. The one number I do want to give out, if I can, oh man, I don't remember if I know what it is. Hold on, I'll come back to that.
What is it?
It's the number you call if you're having voting fraud problems. If someone's mm-hmm. having trouble voting, yeah, it's 866 something. I heard it on NPR this morning. It'll come back to me in a minute.
You can Google it.
Speaking of generations left behind, bringing that to generations to come, Ernie, you just became a grandfather twice, didn't you?
No,
or was it once? Wait a minute.
Let's not rush that process. Great uncle twice.
Oh, great uncle. I'm so sorry.
I thought you knew something I didn't know.
There was this phone.
I have two daughters of childbearing age, so I got to watch out for that.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know what I was thinking. I remember you told me that.
You saw a new member.
But I appreciate that. Yes, my brother's sons and their wives.
And what's his name?
There is Alex and Amy is the younger couple, and mm-hmm. They had a daughter named Celia in Oakland,
nice.
California. And just this past week, last week I should say at this point, David and Darlene Hood of Rochester, New York had a little boy named Oliver Sy.
Hello, Oliver. Welcome to the planet.
Yes. Are they ready to vote children. Yet?
And
no, but they'll... They'll be going in the right
soon,
direction,
right.
I guarantee you, when the time comes.
That's awesome.
So, Oliver and Celia, welcome. Hope you like what's left.
We're trying to fix it.
Right. Yeah. We're going to try and kick some of these politicians into shape to fix it for you. Don't worry. It's time we started putting the pressure on. I think as a populace and as just people in general, we're waking up to that call. So we'll do the best for you, kids.
Yes, it's a wonderful thing. We were down in Charlotte working with the play last week, and then just traveling all over. And the most fascinating, the thing that makes me feel best about it, because my mother is from Chapel Hill, and she marched with Martin Luther King, and the whole nine yards. And just seeing the level of involvement, of engagement, of older people who I don't know why I got disenfranchised a bit from the last couple of elections and said they wouldn't vote again, that are actually voting. We were on Beatty's Ford Road in the middle of the hood. And the library on Friday evening on Halloween, there was a line all the way to the street, all the way down the street. There were old people with walkers and canes, young mothers with their babies, with their little Halloween trick-or-treat costumes on.
This is historical.
Either way it goes, just the fact that people bothered enough to care, and that something moved people enough to just get rid of some of the apathy, to have, 40%?
Isn't it amazing that George Bush, when he ran, referred to himself as the, what's the term? The uniter.
The uniter.
And it's interesting that the people are now uniting because they're uniting against such lunacy.
He didn't say how he was going to be.
Well, he didn't point that out. You're right. Maybe he knew this all along.
Yeah. And I think the reality is that finally, back in 2004, we didn't like George Bush back then either, but we didn't have someone we could rally to in the way that has been such a catalyst of a figure like Barack Obama.
Wasn't there.
And what we need to remember is, the election's going to be over today, but what's going to happen is that we need...
Obama calling.
The election's over today, but our work is really, for the next 4 to 8 years, is only beginning.
It just begun.
It's just beginning now, and I'm kind of, we'll take our sigh of relief, and we'll take our little break and enjoy in the inauguration in January, and then we've got to now start moving forward with what's our plan. Now that we finally got this huge obstacle to progress in this country will finally be removed. Now what are we going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What direction are we going to take ourselves in? Because the future President Obama is not be able to do everything by himself. He hasn't, and he fortunately has engaged so many people in this election that we need to make sure that resource stays available. That people being engaged and us working together, we don't all start infighting once this happens. We don't let the other factions that are in power in this country divide us, which has the potential of happening. Mm-hmm. But I think that we'll have the sense to avoid it, and I think that thanks to Senator Obama, we'll have that chance.
Well, a good attitude, your grandma or someone probably already told you that attitude determines altitude, and people are feeling better. They're feeling better about the fact that they actually might have a choice, have a say-so. And when you feel good, things look better, even they're half empty, they look half full.
Well, I'll just give input instead of ignoring what's going on politically. If there's something that we don't like as a public, and that something that reflects us, to stand up and make a comment against it, and move our politicians in our direction in that regard. I think that's what's been missing.
Exactly.
Nobody's really put the thumb on them.
Mm-mm. And I
obviously it needs to be
folks,
applied.
Mm-hmm. If you don't vote, you don't have an opinion. Don't talk to me about what you think.
Really?
Truly, that kind of cuts a lot of the crap.
So give us one more plug on, of course, Artful Gallery and all that, and then also end that with Prometheus, which I'm going to have on, because I don't know enough information on them just yet. Betty just dropped that on me recently, and sadly I missed the show. I was hoping to stage manage that one, but it didn't work out that way. So but why don't you give us a rundown on that, and then Prometheus will be on here with George and myself next week.
Okay, so I'll start off real quickly. Butterfly Wings, Claudine's Story, starring Terrell Carter and Anne McCurry and Connie McCoy. It's in Charlotte, Ovens Auditorium, November the 21st and 22nd. Tickets are on sale. And, for you folks who weren't able to pick up the $25 ticket special, if you have an MVP card from Food Line, use your MVP card at Ovens Auditorium and get your ticket for just $25.
I got one of those.
Yes. Isn't that a beautiful thing? That card's good everywhere. So use your MVP card and go get your tickets, okay?
I'm going to try it for dog food.
They've got their store brand. They probably can help
you
out.
Your dogs eat the store brand? I don't know. They may be kind of special dogs.
And the young folks from Prometheus Bound, that's Hillside High School, and students from some of the other schools that don't have similar programs. And they will be here next week, next Tuesday on
next
Claudio's
Tuesday,
Speakeasy.
10 to 11.
10 to 11.
And we want you here a lot earlier, so be here around 9, 9:30.
Yes, well, they go to school at 7, so my God.
No, actually, there's no school that day.
Ooh.
I was told.
well,
very good.
We'll be in the parking lot in case.
Yeah, absolutely. Good. We might need your help.
Yes, but they'll be here, and these are the young people that opened for History of the Word that will be performing at Apollo Theater.
So. Well, this poet looks forward to having you on.
And we'll see all you folks over at the Artful Gallery. What is our address? 4608 C Industry Lane.
And give us a phone number on that, too.
That would be 919-598-7599. Or if you're calling from outside the Raleigh-Durham area, the toll-free number is 1-800-638-2733. And, of course, we're always open online at artfulgreetings.com.
And they are also there. The art gallery is also available as a meeting space, so you may also want to consider that as a potential venue for yourself for things you've got going
on. Cool, intimate little parties where you don't need paparazzi.
Right. Artsy folks who aren't even artsy.
You meet Papa, but not the Ratsy. And that's the news on that part of the ballgame. Ernie, you want to give us one more plug for Radio In Vivo, which is your wonderful science show?
Thank you. Sure, I'd be glad to. It's every Wednesday from 11 to noon. So tomorrow, as I mentioned at the top of the hour, we will have Dr. Alex Wang from NC State talking about the smart electrical grid of the future.
I want one. Yes. That sounds fascinating. I will tune into that. Wanted to mention very quickly that John Paul is trying to find his own show with the Unmedia content, and I think possibly looking for a Sunday slot. I don't know what's happening there, but I know that he will eventually be coming back with his political views in that regard. I know he's out taking care of the vote today. Just wanted to give him a heads up. Power to you out there. Get him voting the right way.
Go vote.
And I think George has something to say in closing.
Yeah, just my last thing. I have now the latest polling data with zero precincts reporting. I'm going to go ahead and personally make the call. North Carolina goes blue for Senator Barack Obama.
All right.
Go blue, go blue.
I'll second that notion. I want to also thank the Century Center for having my art exhibit up there the entire month of October. And we are going over there to pick that up in a few minutes and take it back to Artful Greetings Gallery. So just on behalf of 103.5 WCOM, 103.5 FM at WCOM, this is Claudio Speakeasy, the literary and all else. We're signing off a little early today so we can give Paul Nash time for his touchstones and to do some computer changeovers that we need to do for archiving. So this is your host, Claudio, thanking Valerie, Carl,
thank you,
George,
thank you,
and Ernie. At the speakeasy. Until next time, America.
Go vote.
Go vote.
Cheers.